This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to our ongoing coverage of the swearing-in ceremony of our 8th Prime Minister. You're with me, Roshan Kanisan, and Wong Xiaoning. We've been speaking to commentators and observers for their analysis on the political developments over the past week, culminating in this morning's swearing-in. And joining us on the line now is Dr. Azmul Tayyab, political scientist with University Science Malaysia. He's a political scientist who has done extensive research on Islamic politics and social movements. Welcome to the... thank you for joining us on the line today, Doctor.
Thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
So let's just go straight to it. We're asking all our commentators this morning for their reaction. So what has been your reaction to the reality that we have a new prime minister right now?
To me personally, it's a surprise. I guess it seems like most of the Malaysians who are transfixed on what's been going on in the past week. So even though we can see the maneuvering, Ajmin and some of these people leading up to this, but I guess no one expected that it's going to come to too soon.
And how significant is it for PAS that they are now part of the federal government?
It is significant. I think, but in a completely different context than when PAS joined Pakatan Rakyat before, because we're talking about PAS working on the national level as opposed to working on the state level in Kelantan and Terengganu and to a certain extent Kedah, because these are the two levels that we can see PAS tend to modulate its views. Its actions according to the level of governance. So when PAS was in the Pakatan Rakyat, you can see it tends to be more to adopt more moderate views, especially working with DAP and PKR. But in this case, it's highly unlikely that PAS would. Tend to be different than PAS operating on the state level, so it will still remain ideologically the same because there's no incentive for PAS to actually moderate its views because as we can see, this new coalition is Perikatan Nasional is Malay and Islamic centric coalition, so. In that sense, there's no incentive for PAS to actually do any different.
So let's dive in there a little bit. What can we learn from PAS and their views on what is best for this new government based on the research that you've done?
Usually PAS tends to have a more... general view, I guess, when it expands to the national level or to the federal level. So it's sort of kind of like operating, on two different levels, basically. So there are the parts that can afford to be more ideological and more rigid, I guess, when it operates on the state level, let's say in Kelantan, which I've spent quite some time there studying the PAS politics on the state level. But when talking to PAS people, what would they do if, let's say, if they manage to get to the federal level? And they do actually take into consideration working with non-Muslims and also working with Malays who might not share the same conservative views as them, but it's but back then it was only speculation, right? Because it's only what they will do if, let's say, by any chance they get to the federal level. But now, PAS is on the federal level. This would be Perikatan Nasional. And it remains to be seen if they would moderate their views, especially if, let's say, the Borneo parties decide to join with Perikatan Nasional, or PAS remains as it is in Kelantan, for example. So either PAS the ideological party or PAS the more pragmatic party. So I think it still remains to be seen later on, you know, so once the this new coalition forms a government, then we can see what kind of policies that come out of this new government.
So what do you think PAS, as a party, their priorities are now they are part of federal government? Is it economic? Is it social reform? What would be their main agenda they'll push through?
It's hard to see because I don't think the focus will be much on the economy. I think that would be left to the other parties. I think it would be the main focus would be on the social reforms. I guess it depends on which part of PAS that actually shows up on the federal in this new government. So if it's a more ideologically rigid PAS, then I think the focus will be mainly on social reforms, mainly to be more conservative, and we're going to see more push towards the reinstatement of the RU 355 and, you know, the some conservative, socially conservative measures. But a more pragmatic PAS will put the social reforms in the back burner and then maybe focus more on the economic issues that allows it to work with the other parties. So more on the welfare issues and things like subsidies and things like that. So it still, I guess, remains to be seen because it's hard to say right now which way that PAS on a national level, which direction it will move to.
Do you think that this Bersatu UMNO PAS coalition has longevity? I mean, it seems that they've come together to take government. They have this common cause. But do you see fissures in the longer term in terms of their own ideologies, separate ideologies?
Honestly, I don't see this this partnership lasting for very long. Primarily because one is, you know, looking at the electoral contestation seats distribution, for example, because especially for Bersatu and UMNO, and even PAS to some extent, they're all contesting for the same electorates, namely the Malay electorates, even though PAS has its strongholds and UMNO has its strongholds. So I think it's mainly a problem between Bersatu and UMNO. So depending on how the give and take, horse trading and things like that, which, you know, I doubt it's going to be... It's going to be happily accepted by all parties. So I have my doubts that that this partnership will go beyond just changing the government now. So I think when it comes to the GE15, I think we can see whether this partnership can last beyond getting rid of the common enemy agenda.
So based on what we know now, what kind of issues might likely become sticking points between UMNO PAS and Bersatu, if at all?
I think the main sticking point would be, if they come to form a, UMNO might play along with PAS, you know, when it comes to social reforms, I guess. But maybe to a certain extent, we can see how, there's also the need to juggle the demands from the Borneo Party, for example, which we know are predominantly non-Muslims and have a completely different ideology. So it's it'll be a juggling act of, you know, the AMNO and Bersatu to juggle between, you know, its partners. So that's going to be a sticking point, because if PAS decides to go on this more ideological route and start pushing for conservative social reforms, then it's going to come into loggerheads with colonial parties or even MCA and MIC within the coalition, who might not go along with this conservative social reforms. So I think that's going to be the sticking point. But if PAS being pragmatic, you know, then focusing maybe for the next 2 or 3 years on economic reforms, then I think it'll be less of an issue.
And Perikatan Nasional has gained traction on the platform of a Malay ethnocentric city. Do you think they now feel an urgency to reconcile with multicultural stakeholders?
I think we can already see the overture made by Muhyiddin a plea to the public, the general public, to accept this new coalition, the Perikatan Nasional. So, but the proof will be in the pudding, right? So it's, they can plea, but they can ask for support. But I think it's difficult to me, it's hard to see how to they can repair the relationship, especially with non-Malays and non-Muslim voters, because who are predominantly pro Pakatan Harapan and who are now feeling betrayed. So I don't know what can this new coalition do to regain the trust of the non-Muslims and non-Malays. I doubt that there will be any serious effort to do that, because it seems like a lost cause, and they might as well just focus on their real constituency, which is the Malay Muslims, especially the conservative Malay Muslims. So, and not wasting any time trying to appease the non-Muslim, non-Malay electorates who might not forgive them for what happened in the past week.
So just pivoting here a little bit, you earlier alluded to the possible friction between the Borneo parties and PAS. What are the sticking points here between these two, these three factions?
Definitely Hudud. You know, I mean, PAS will always keep pushing for Hudud. Either on the state level, and now they have the opportunity to do it on the federal level. So that has always been on PAS's agenda. So that if let's say PAS decides to go on that road and pushing for Hudud, especially if it feels that it's time on the federal government is limited, so might as well make a full use of his time in power at the federal level and push for Hudud, then it's gonna create a tension with the Borneo party. So that I can definitely see happening. So I guess it depends on how ideological or how pragmatic PAS leaders will be on the federal level.
And so how best can the current Prime Minister, the 8th Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, reconcile these possible splits in these different in this new coalition of his? Do you think it's going to be a big challenge for him going forward?
It is going to be a big challenge, because right now I'm sure there is a lot of quid pro quo going on behind the scenes, in lieu of the support. Then I'm sure there is a lot of dealings going on. But the Borneo party, I'm sure they know that, if they go too far with this, especially if they accede to what pass his demands and go along with this Hudud or this conservative social reforms, they will get punished by their voters in Sabah and Sarawak. I think they do realize that. So I think there it will be a for Muhyiddin, UMNO and Bersatu, I think this will be the task to juggle these differences. Because this is actually unprecedented because, well, I mean, not really unprecedented because PAS has been, for a very short while, part of the Barisan Nasional in the 70s. But for the longest time, BN has always excluded PAS, you know, so so this issue of Islamization or implementation of Hudud, you know, doesn't really come up seriously within as a discussion within the Barisan Nasional. So. But this time is different because PAS is actually a former member of this new coalition. So I'm sure the discussion of this conservative social reforms, including Hudud, will be on the table for discussion within all this. So I guess it will be a tough test for UMNO, Bersatu and Muhyiddin particularly to be able to maybe find common grounds or maybe, you know, but it's really difficult to say right now. But I can definitely foresee that that kind of contestation going on.
And on a wider note, how do you think what would be the best way for the new Prime Minister to reconcile what is a split in our society moving forward?
I think for the general society, what the Prime Minister can do, at least attempt to do, whether it will be successful or not, I mean, that's a whole different matter, is to try to narrow the gap, this polarization that we are seeing in Malaysia now, especially between Muslims and non-Muslims, Malays and non-Malays. We can see how toxic all these ethno-religious issues were in the past 2 years and how it divides the Malaysian society and ultimately leading up to the breaking up of the Pakatan Harapan government. So if Muhyiddin is really sincere in mending fences and trying to reconcile the nation, so not just reconcile within Perikatan National or within different political parties, opposition political parties, but the Malaysian society at large, I mean, it needs to make a sincere effort in showing especially non-Muslims that there's nothing to fear from this very Malay Islamic centric coalition, which I think is a very tall order to do for Muhyiddin, because of this breach of trust and the feeling of betrayal. But still, I mean, as the Prime Minister, not just for the coalition, but for the whole Malaysia, I think the first order of things to do is just to narrow this gap, this polarization between Muslims and non-Muslims, I think that, and Malays and non-Malays, which I think has deteriorated to the to the point to a very chronic level in the past 2 years. And I think that's what he needs to do right now.
All right. And thank you so much for joining us on the line today, Dr. Azmil.
Okay, you're welcome. All right.
That was Dr. Azmil Tayyab, political scientist at University Science Malaysia, with a more focused view on PAS in itself and it joining the federal government. And really, what is a balancing act that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has in front of him to bring these parties that really just unified to take down the Pakatan Harapan government and where they go on from here. And we've got a few messages for you. But before that, We Shall Overcome by Mahalia Jackson. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.